The following copyrighted program is presented by PodcastNorm.com. Hi, everybody. My name is Russ, and I'd like to welcome you to the show we call Just a Fan's View, the show that talks about NASCAR from just a NASCAR fan's point of view. We won't be doing any interviews with drivers, and we won't be talking to any crew chiefs. In fact, when we do interview anyone, it will be just another NASCAR fan. That's why we call it Just a Fan's View. So hold on to your cup holder. We're not afraid to express our opinion. In fact, it is what we do best. Today's show is Making It or Breaking It Under the Lights at Bristol from a NASCAR Fan's View. Bristol Motor Speedway is one of the most popular racetracks on the NASCAR circuit. We've all heard all the commentators and talking heads talk about Bristol's popularity throughout the week, and just about every word imaginable has been used to describe it. We all know it is fast, and its infield is one of the loudest the teams visit during practice, qualifying, and all during the races held there. All of those are good reasons for it to be so popular, but the speed and the noise have very little to do with its popularity. The biggest reason fans love it is because of the racing that takes place there. One thing fans have always been able to count on has been the intensity of the racing at Bristol, and more than any other reason, it is why they show up in large numbers to watch. Add to the speed and intensity all of the emotions the drivers experience during a race, and you have the formula for Saturday night short track racing under the lights that fans love. I have to admit, I am one of those fans that loves the short tracks, and in particular, the racing that takes place under the lights on a Saturday night. It is what I grew up on, and it has never lost its attraction for me. Keep in mind that when every seat is filled at Bristol, it holds at least 160,000 people, and on a good night, every one of those fans is often either on the edge of their seat or standing up cheering on their favorite drivers. Racing prowess is not always the reason for the cheers and jeers. It is usually because someone has taken all the bumping, rubbing, and nudging they can stand and has dished out some payback of some sort. Usually that means someone is either sliding into the wall or spinning to the inside of the track and coming away from the situation with more payback in mind while the crowd erupts in those cheers, jeers, and ecstatic displays of emotion. None of this is new to fans familiar with Bristol Motor Speedway, but this year something is different. With the Gen 6 car, speeds are up, and just about every driver is on the edge of wrecking at both ends of the track. The line between racing and wrecking is as razor-thin as this fan has ever seen. You don't have to take my word for it, though. Just ask any driver, and they'll tell you the same thing. Fastest way around is now at the top on the edge of the black tire rubber. If they were on a dirt track, it would be called the cushion. If they miss it by inches, they're in the wall, and depending on how hard they hit, probably are having to make a pit stop for repairs, or at the very least, they'll be losing valuable track position. From the very start of the first practice yesterday, it was very obvious that the Gen 6 cars were going to be faster than they were in the spring, and that the bottom of the track was no longer the place to be. Like I said earlier, the fastest line has moved to the top, up close to the wall, and it didn't take long for the drivers to find that out. Over time, as the rubber began to become more obvious, they also found the top line to be precarious. Missing it by a fraction and getting into the debris just outside the groove usually meant a brush with the wall and possible repairs. That's what may make tonight's race so interesting and picking a winner so difficult. If you're a regular visitor here at Just a Fan's View, you already know what I think of statistics, but the statistics do say the ones that win at Bristol usually start in the top 10. That's not to say that someone starting further back can't or won't win. It's just that starting out front and maintaining good track position throughout the night has its advantages, especially with the Gen 6 car. With 43 cars, the closeness of the competition, and that razor-edge top racing groove, anything can happen, but those out front have an advantage over those in the back as long as they don't miss the line. Take, for example, two drivers that are trying very hard to make it solidly into the chase. Kurt Busch and Jeff Gordon were constantly trading the fastest lap times back and forth, and it looked like either one of them might take the pole during qualifying. As it turned out, one of them did turn in a good time in qualifying, and the other one didn't. Hurt starts outside pole next to Denny Hamlin. Jeff Gordon starts 32nd, simply because Kurt hit the line and Jeff missed it. Unless Jeff can make something happen tonight from that far back in the pack, in this fan's opinion, he is probably not going to make the chase this year. Kyle Busch also struggled with the razor edge top line in qualifying, and he will start 43rd in tonight's race. Even though he has already won in the Truck Series and the Nationwide Series this week at Bristol, making a clean sweep of the weekend may not happen for him this time. Of course, if anyone can win at Bristol after starting 43rd, it would probably be him from this fan's view. A lot can happen that won't be in his control, and starting back that far makes it more likely he could get caught up in someone else's problems. Hey, this is Russ, and I'll see you next time, right here at NASCAR Fans View, for just a fan's view of NASCAR racing. That's the show for today, and we're really glad you took the time to be with us. It is our hope you enjoyed this time and that you will tell a friend where to find us. Just a Fan's View is a production of, and all views expressed are strictly the opinion of, PCN Productions. Thanks for being here, and until next time, have a great week. Hi everyone, my name is Rusty Norman, probably better known to you as Podcast Norm. I'm the voice behind Podcast Norm Audio Productions, and I'd like to take a moment to tell you about the music I use in my podcasts and other productions. It's from Mike Stewart, and it's called Two Buck Themes. We all know music makes every production better, and not only is Two Buck Themes royalty-free, but it is very affordable. How much is it, did you say? Just $2 a theme, 5 themes at a time, and I use it exclusively on these podcasts. If you make audio and video productions and want to make them better, then give Two Buck Themes a try. I know you won't be disappointed. Once you hear and use them for yourself, I'm sure you will feel the same way I do about them. So click on the link below and get Two Buck Themes for yourself. Hey, this is Russ, and I'll see you next time.